This is an oral history interview with Mr. Harold Kimball, conducted by Victor Hatcher on 2nd of April, 1996, at the Quest for Excellence building. The subject of this interview is the history of Mr. Harold Kimball. Mr. Kimball, how are you doing today?
Well, how are you today?
I'm doing just fine. Why don't you tell me about yourself?
Well, let's go back in, from the beginning. I guess that would be a good place to start.
Yes.
My name is Harold Kimball. I was born in Etowah County, June 27, 1947. Parents were Howard Kimball and Marie Kimball. Raised in a small community called Alabama City, known as Alabama City, which is a part of Gaston. In Alabama City, it was very interesting growing up in that particular area, because the community raised the children is something that we've gotten away from now. Everybody in the community appeared to be your extended family, even though many of them were not actually your relatives, but even the people who were close to the family, close friends, we call it uncle and aunts and cousins, even though there was no bloodline or no blood relations there. And it was really exciting to grow up in that kind of environment, because you grew up in an environment where you felt that you were loved, and where you felt where that everybody was concerned about your well-being. And it was really an interesting thing to grow up in that kind of environment. Really exciting to me. I really enjoyed it. I also kind of think about it and have fond memories about the very early years of my life and growing up in that particular environment.
Can you give me an example?
Well, there was a lady in our neighborhood by the name of Marie Johnson. We called her Aunt Marie. She was no blood relative to any of us.
Right.
But she was just like a blood relative, just like an aunt. She would load all the kids up in the neighborhood and in her car. She would have one of the few automobiles in the neighborhood. And she would take us all together. We would be piled up on top of one another, 13 people in a car, a little two-door sedan, and she would be faithful in carrying us to church, and she was faithful in making sure that we was involved in all the Christmas programs and Easter programs. If we were out of line in the time in the street, all she had to do was just call your name, and that meant automatically get to attention and carry yourself in the kind of way that she would have been proud of. And so it was just that kind of environment. We have many aunts like Aunt Marie in the community who were just like, who was that way. Anybody in the community could just about holler your name, call your name, and that meant attention when your name was called. And it taught me a whole lot about the importance of a name and what it means to have for your name. And so it's really important for me. And to grow up in that kind of environment, I'm really excited. All of the kids in the neighborhood were friends. You could go to anybody's house and sit down and fellowship, and they'd come to your house, and whenever you were there, you was treated, you had to respect the parents, and the parents respected you, and it was just a great relationship. When you were at their house, they were the extended parent. Anything that you did out of line, they had the authority to chastise you and to send a message home to your parents. And we didn't have telephones back in those days, and you had to take the message back home. And then once you took the message back home, you got another chastisement when you got back home. And so it was just that kind of environment wherein, and you never, even though sometimes people see things and they might not really understand what was going on, and if you got chastised and you felt that it wasn't right, you still had to take the message home. You got chastised again, because you were not allowed to call any adult a lie or to say they misunderstood the facts. Whatever an adult said, that what went. And that helped me to understand even clearly what, when I read the Bible now, Paul says the same from the very appearance of evil.
Right.
And so you have to live. Back then, they were training you to live your life so that people couldn't even intimate that you were doing something wrong, because if they did, they would chastise you, and you would get chastised at home. So, like, it was important for you to always make sure that you were in the right place, doing the right thing. So that was important.
Oh, that's That's very interesting. So your childhood or your growing up years, it basically trained you for what you do now?
I think that being able to reflect back on my childhood has helped me tremendously in many of the things that I do, and I long for those days of wherein the community were more involved in raising its children. I thank God for being a product of that in that particular environment, even though there were some negatives on some other sides. But just in that small community, in that small environment, in that small area where we live, that was the attitude, and it has played a part in my development, my social development, my spiritual development as well. It doesn't mean that I always did the right thing,
right,
nor did it mean that I was one of the best children. I did talk about the fact that if you got out of line, you got chastised. So evidently that meant that I did get chastised with your child. And
right.
You did have to take the message home. So that meant that I did have to take the message home a few times. And so I wasn't one of the best children. But I think that the chastisement that I received helped me to stay within certain boundaries as I grew up, even though it appeared that later in life that I had some struggle with some things, but the Lord has blessed it. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way that it should go. If he's old, he won't depart." Well, I'd like to paraphrase that and put that another way. If he departs, he has something to come back to. And oftentimes, children grow up, they're trained properly, and they get out and they get in the world like a prodigal son, get out in the world. But as long as they have the training, the prodigal son remembered how it was back at home with his father, and it prompted him to go back home. And so I think that if you train a child up in the way that he should go, even if he or she should stray, they have the proper foundation so that they can come back home to those basic training, those basic principles that they were taught when they were young. And so that's quite important to me, and it's been very important to me. And I believe that's the reason why I believe so much in children today, that if we take the time to try and instill some positive values in them, regardless of how far astray they go, if we instill those values in them, they have something to come back home to when they find themselves.
Okay, you mentioned that your community was like an extended family. It was a lot of love and concern when you were growing up. Do you feel it's the same way now for children growing up now?
Not at all. In some areas, but on a scale of 1 to 10, I would say it's an 8, that we are not
right.
that kind of community. You see, it was what has happened over the years. We've turned around and we've become more individual rather than being a part of a group. We've become more individually oriented, and I think some of the mistakes that took place is that some people did not realize the value of their training when we were coming up, and many of them grew up and said, "I don't want my children to go through what I had to go through," and I think that they misunderstood what they went through. Some of them mistook the poverty that they were in, not having money and the like, as being the major thing that shaped their lives. They could not see the love that was being given instead of the money that we could have had. I had to wear hand-me-downs from my older brother, but my brother tried to take care of them because he knew I had to wear them. And my parents made sure that when they bought something for my brother, they bought something good for him, because they knew that it was going to end up having to come down to me because of the way that things were. The thing that I loved about my parents too is when they bought anything for any of us, they tried to buy the best so that it would last long enough so that they would not have to repurchase it again. And so those are some things that were taught to us, and it was just a lot of love and concern in teaching you the value of things as we grew and as we developed. So it was some say that I don't want my child to go through the things that I had to go through. And I think that's they lumped it all together, and they were not able to sit down and look at and analyze and to see that there were some great things that took place in their lives. And as a result of trying to lump it all together and move away from their past, they threw out the baby with the bathwater and throughout all the good things, but the things that they considered was dirty. And so that's one of the problems we find in our society now. But I also see that since we've gone so far astray, that there are many people who are crying out now for the old way, who are crying out for a need for more community involvement in the rearing of our children. And I think that that's something that we hope that we'll be able to move to. And I'm just praying and believing God that, that more Christians are going to cry out to God and more churches are going to become involved in the positive growth and development of the children. And then we'll be able to put some of those values back in place.
Okay, Mr. Kimball, you mentioned that people are crying out for the old way. Do you feel like that's the mission of your church? Is that the reason you became a minister, to lead people back to the way things should be? Or what is your reason for becoming a minister?
The reason for becoming a minister is because I had a compelling call of God that I could not ignore, even though I tried to ignore it, to share with the world the things that he was placing on my heart through his word.
Right.
And I did not have any agenda when I became a minister, when I accepted the call. I did not have any preconceived ideas about what was going to take place. I realized that the ministry that I'm involved in belonged to God, and I am just an instrument used by him to say what he would have me say and to do what he would have me do as he see fit. I'm one who believes that before God created me, God had a purpose in mind for my life, even to the extent that he numbered the hairs of my head and the color of my eyes and all of that, to go into my fulfilling my purpose. He placed me where I am, with the parents that I have, in the community that I was raised in, because he wanted to prepare me for a purpose. And I feel that many of the trials and tribulations that I've had to deal with in life, the things that I've had to overcome, that have had to prepare me for my purpose. And so I did not know at the time that I went into the ministry what my job was, but I just knew that I had to be obedient. And so whatever he told me to do, that's what I've done. And as I've worked in the ministry, he's given me a vision. And many of the things that he has given me in the vision to do has become a reality. And the vision just seems to expand more and more as I go. So I don't really know what the end is going to be. All I know is I've got to be obedient to the vision. And he provides and makes the opportunities available. I don't know how things are going to work out, how they going to happen, but he just reveals to me as I go those things that I need to do. And when I find myself in complete compliance with him and submission to him in obedience, the visions become clearer. And when I find myself trying to figure out or lean on my own understanding, but try to make some plans for myself, then the vision seem to be dimmer. So I just learn to submit and follow the vision.
That's a really excellent point. Can you tell us, not to switch the subject too quickly, but can you tell us something about Quest for Excellence and how you became involved with that?
Quest for Excellence is a youth development program, multifaceted youth development program. When I came back here from Washington in 1900, I guess, 80, latter part of 87, I came back and Mr. Dawn had just started a radio station not too long prior to then. And when I came back, I had a background in radio broadcasting from Gaston State Junior College, and I had an interest in it all back in the late 60s, early 70s. And Mr. Donald gave me an opportunity to host a talk show on every Sunday afternoon called Community Speaks. And during that particular time, we were having problems with gangs growing in the community. We had a problem with drugs. We had problems with teenage violence and the like happening in our community. Everything, every negative thing that was happening in many of your larger cities was showing themselves here. And I've been in Washington, and I've seen the gang problem. I've seen all the negative things that was happening there. So, and it was happening in Washington on a much larger scale than it was happening here. So I became, I guess, a person that was speaking out against those kinds of things, and possibly with the leading of God, offering some solutions for some of the problems on air.